98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot.
Oh. There it is, hour number three, Jesse. That's right, Flash the Three. Hour number three in the Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning, broadcasting on a Cowbell Friday. Bang that thing. Gather on the transistor and press the ear. That's right, Jesse. Break out that cowbell and bang that thing. The Doug and Wolf Show on a Cowbell Friday. Slide on them Jordache jeans and climb on out of that deep, dark hole you've been in. Shake off that gloom and brush it back, my brothers. Everybody's working for the week. Take out that neon comb and brush it back on the Doug and Wolf Show on a Cowbell Friday. We shall rise from the ashes once again, shall we not, Phoenix? And the surrounding areas, of course. Isn't that right, Yuma? You're going to go to Douglas, Arizona. Gather on the transistor for hour number three of the Doug and Wolf Show.
Have we ever verified the Derek Hall report that we're big at Douglas?
I don't think we've ever verified it, but I would have to believe it. A lot of Jordache jeans in Douglas.
If you're in Douglas, woo! Arizona right now, either text us on the FanDuel text line 620-620 or immediately tweet the show at Doug and Wolf 98.7 and tell us yes. Douglas residents listen to the Doug and Wolf Show. Because I've never believed in
Arizona.
In
yeah, you know what? I could see you'd be big Douglas in Douglas.
Now, I know that we have zero listeners in Tucson.
Zero.
Yeah.
I refuse. We've got.
I think Tucson would secede from the state if they could. I do. I totally believe that.
Okay.
And I don't know how many residents of the rest of the state would stop them.
Fine with that.
That's pretty good. I should not put that out as a text question because I'm a little nervous of what the answers would actually be. Maloney has the day off today, so Minch has moved over to the producer's chair.
Danny White would not have a meal in Tucson. That's what he said. He used to say it all the time with a deadpan look on his face. I will never have a meal in Tucson. That's what Danny White said.
You remember the napkin lady?
Yes, I do remember the napkin lady. That was one of your earlier.
It was the third innings. For those of you that don't, you know what, Minch, I don't want to rain on your parade here because it's your time to shine, Minch, without Maloney. But since we brought it up, the Doug and Wolf Show at the time was about 2.5 months, 3 months old, okay?
How's that taste, Minch?
And so it's March of 2007, and we go down, Yoda, Wolf, and I, to Diamondback spring training.
Yeah.
And it's our first experience of Wolf in the left lane, and I just have my head down the whole drive. It's the only time I've ever gone on a long trip with Wolf again after him just sitting there in the left lane. And I just wanted to throw up all over the truck. But we get down there, and we go to a Diamondbacks game, and we're sitting at about the second row from the top. So we're up top, but it's still spring training, so it's not like it's that high. Down the first baseline. First inning goes by, second inning goes by. By the third inning, when there's nobody sitting within 8 rows below us, I stretch out and put my feet on the seat in front of me.
Hairy feet.
So now, and I don't mean the feet. I mean, I got shoes on, but my shoes are now on the seat in front of me.
Still hairy.
Suddenly in the third inning, this group of people that are easily probably early 70s come over, and it's kind of like our day together to come out. And they're there, and this woman says, "Excuse me," without even like coming close to me first.
Yeah, okay.
Like I had no idea she was coming up somewhat behind me.
Yes.
And then she gets ready to sit, and I go, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry." And I move my legs, and then she says, "You don't have any napkins?"
Oh my goodness.
Henry, will you go get some napkins, please?
Oh.
And says it, looking at me, not at Henry.
Right.
And then Henry leaves, and he comes back, and she barely touches the napkins like the maid should be doing this, and wipes the seat down as if I had been running through mud before the game.
First of all, Henry just didn't leave. He jumped. Henry jumped. Oh, yes, dear.
Now,
and then he brought back the napkin.
That was Wolf and Yoda's first experience on how I always step in it. I always end up in a situation.
Yes.
But at the same time, I will still defend myself. It was the third inning. By the third inning, if you haven't got to your seat, you shouldn't be there anyway.
Exactly right.
Okay, thank you.
Unless you had hairy feet, then I would have known. Yeah.
All right, now go ahead and Minch, it's your time to shine. You got 2 minutes. Go.
Are you guys sure you even want to talk about anything anymore?
Yes, yeah, go. Absolutely. Hey, don't waste time.
I guess I'll just pick one thing.
So you're wasting time.
Okay,
go.
There we go.
The Cleveland Indians, after 106 years, are now going to be known as the Cleveland Guardians. Anyway, what is your reaction?
Yeah, come on. The Guardians.
What? You know you're going to warm up to that. You are at some point in time. The Guardians, this is an excellent offer because, listen, you just said it. 106 years they've been known as the Cleveland Indians. And now all of a sudden you're going to change your name? Nobody's going to like it at first. Nobody except maybe me. I love the Guardian thing, man. Are you kidding me? It speaks to the protective gene that I have in my body.
National media people that are opining are on your side.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's an excellent play by Cleveland. I think it's an excellent play, the Cleveland Guardians. Well done.
Do we even have time?
Let's go.
Okay. Don't get mad at me. The Sanderson Ford poll question today. It has to do with your Arizona Coyotes, who are highly interested in an area of land over in Tempe. So the question asks, where would you rather have the Coyotes arena located? The current in Glendale or the soon-to-be in Tempe?
I'm a West Side guy. I mean, I'll always say Glendale, but I understand the issues that are there, and I know they're going to move eventually. That site, though, it seems a little tight. If you don't know where it is, if you're headed eastbound on the 202, so for a lot of you that live on the east side, imagine you're going home on the 202. You see the exits signs for Priest. Right before you get to the overpass of Priest, look to your right. So right before Tempe Town Lake really starts, over the river, there's, not through the woods, there's over, I knew you were going to say that, there's a spot right there on Rio Salado and Priest that's got two big plots of land.
Okay.
It'll hold an arena,
right?
But boy, does it seem like a nightmare with my limited mind.
You know, though,
to understand how to get in and out of that pre and post game.
You know that Tempe is going to go ahead and build the infrastructure around that to make sure that it's not a nightmare getting out of that. I mean, it totally would defeat the purpose if, in fact, they did that. So obviously, they have some type of plan to accommodate the track.
Quote. Never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the @NFL. DeAndre Hopkins tweet, which was later deleted. Your reaction?
I got to say, DeAndre, I really sympathize with you. I wouldn't have deleted it. I think that it says a lot. It shows how much you care about your teammates when you accept the fact that this could have a dramatic effect on your team. And you're so loyal, you're saying, I don't want to affect the team, so maybe I should look at moving on from the NFL. I mean, it's a really powerful statement. I don't have a right to comment specifically on one man's health decisions in the United States of America. But I'll give my opinion that I do think you have a better chance of winning the higher percentage of vaccinated players that you have.
Yeah, listen, every human being has the right to make that decision, and DeAndre Hopkins has the right, in my opinion, to express that decision right there. Now, listen, where this goes, I do not know, but I will tell you, DeAndre Hopkins also tweeted out, after he deleted that first tweet, tweeted out, hey, I'm going to play 9 more years. Don't worry about it. I'm playing 9 more years in the league. I thought that was funny right there. He actually had a number in his head as how much longer he was going to play. But I think he may be using a little hyperbole to make his point.
Let's get more specifically from a union standpoint. Our own Lorenzo Alexander, former Cardinals linebacker, is one of the vice presidents in the NFL Players Association. How is the PA involved in this statement of forfeiture of games by the NFL. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
If the stars aren't getting vaccinated, then the NFL's got a little bit of a problem.
You got to think that the NFL feels pretty strongly about this. If they're putting themselves out there saying, like, get this vaccine.
This isn't Cole Beasley saying that he's not getting vaccinated. This is DeAndre Hopkins.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
Right now, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line is Lorenzo Alexander, former Cardinals linebacker and a vice president within the NFL Players Association. Zo, good morning. I want to say first, I want to introduce you the same way I've done a couple other guests this week. We have a new co-host to the Doug and Wolf Show. His name's Ron, if you don't mind me introducing.
Hey, my man Wolf, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Zo, man? How you doing, bro?
I'm doing well. I'm sad I didn't get to catch you this week when I came in earlier.
I know, man. I'm so sorry about that. Hope you're doing well, bro.
Yeah, family's good. I hope you as well.
That's cool of you, Zo. We're struggling today. We'll admit it openly. We're really struggling with something. We're in a weird spot as talk show hosts, in which we're giving our opinions about a man's desire to win based on his desire to be vaccinated. But Michael Irvin started it, and I admit I agree with him, and I don't mind if somebody struggles with talking about it or hearing me say that because I struggle talking about it. But he says. It leads to winning to get vaccinated. And DeAndre Hopkins had a very poignant tweet that is really difficult. So for listeners that haven't heard it, never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. He did delete the tweet. So I got two questions for you. A, as a former player, how do you feel about a guy in the locker room not getting vaccinated that could cost you money and playoffs and a championship? And how does if you don't mind representing the group that you represent, the NFL Players Association as a vice president, what's their involvement in the NFL kind of dropping the hammer this week saying forfeits could happen and you'll lose game checks?
Well, I guess I'll answer the latter first. That was the same protocol or same implementation that was a part of last year as well. That was something, if a game got canceled last season, that guys wouldn't have gotten paid.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a great effort to make everything work, and we obviously play every single game. But this is not like a new implication or ruling that they just dropped all of a sudden. I think the way and the tone that they dropped it in made it feel like it was something new and something different, and trying to pit player versus player in the sense of, if an unvaccinated player is patient zero, essentially, and spreads it enough for the team to get infected and you miss games, then there's an issue. So now you have all the eyes to the people that say that they're unvaccinated or don't plan on getting vaccinated. Everybody's maybe looking at them as a bad teammate or whatnot, which is neither here nor there in my mind, because every man has to make a decision for them and their family based on what they believe and their health. And that's just the way it is. But if we look at how do we play a whole entire NFL season last year with all of the protocols with no vaccine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, it's a owner's move as far as, if you are an unvaccinated player, you still get tested at the same rate. If you're vaccinated, I believe it's like a 1 or 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. So there's a cost value there, right?
Yep.
Owners are about the cost. Number two, owners and business people in general are always about minimizing the risk, right? So I don't think teams will cancel games because that's money out of their pocket, but they're trying to minimize the risk of that potentially happening because a player decides they don't want to get vaccinated. And so they try to put more punitive damages on the team, right? So now you're getting not only your teammates maybe looking at you, now you have the organization trying to manipulate you to get something. And it really comes down to those two things to me, trying to minimize the risk as far as having to reschedule games, because I guarantee you they're going to still do it. It's July and they're making it seem like we're standing on the hill, but when it comes push to shove, and it's, let's say it's a Kansas City, I don't know what the games are this year, but let's say it's Tampa Bay versus the Chiefs. You think they're not going to play that game? They're going to try a way to get that game in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that, and then also they're trying to recoup some of the cost or remove some of the cost coming out of a pandemic,
right?
Having to pay for all of these tests for the unvaccinated players because it's still daily for them.
Yeah, so this is really interesting to me because last year, 2020, during the pandemic right there, I think we all understood exactly why the NFL and the NFLPA came together and said, yeah, you know what, if a game is canceled, we're not going to get paid. Yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, we all understood that now. So was that policy extended to this season? Was there a discussion about that policy being extended to this season, as well?
I think it was just part of the protocols. We haven't had an extension of an agreement. It was just, you know, during this pandemic. And I think it's like that just generally. If you miss a game or forfeit a game, guys don't get paid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we have an external factor of creating that issue now. You're just trying to control what you can control, but you can't control another human's being decision or whether or not of what they want to put in their body. And so you can use the manipulation tactics, what they're trying to do, or obviously make it more punitive or make the life of an unvaccinated player much more advantageous that you try to, you know, convince a player to get vaccinated. But at the end of the day, if you have some of these guys that are very outspoken, you know, you have obviously a Cole Beasley, you have a Hop that's I don't think is vaccinated either. If they're standing on the hill because they believe a certain way and think a certain thing, all that other stuff is not going to matter. It's not going to shift you, right? I'm a Christian. That's the core of my value. You can offer me all this money, all this advantageous stuff over here. Doesn't mean that I'm a denounce God and start going over there because it's better, right?
Amen,
so that's the same type of conviction that these guys have when it comes to the vaccine based on what they're studying. Now, they're putting a little conundrum because it's not to the same extent as your foundation, but it's still a strong conviction because nobody wants to put stuff that they don't quite believe in, they felt was rushed, or maybe they just normally don't get vaccines at all. I mean, I don't know why somebody chooses that. You know, for me, I did get vaccinated. You know, I'm close to a lot of doctors and medical professionals that are close to the process that I trust, right? So I'm using some of my trust with those relationships to say, okay, I'm comfortable with doing it and reading some of the stuff, but I don't understand that stuff. Nobody really does. You have to have a doctor explain
and
it.
Some
to
of them
you, right?
don't understand it right now.
Yeah,
to be honest.
So you have to go off of some of his faith, some of his trust with some of your doctors that are close, and then you make a decision. And some people are on to agree, some people aren't. And then you have to find a way to navigate, obviously, the NFL world. And then you may have to live with potentially being player zero and letting your teammates down. But you're not going to shift your convictions just because of some of this extra, you know, arm twisting that the league is trying to put on you.
This is Lorenzo Alexander, frequent guest of the Doug and Wolf Show, former Cardinals linebacker and an NFLPA vice president. So I tell you, I don't like talking about this topic in an individual standpoint about Cole Beasley and D-Hop, but I do agree with Michael Irvin in one sense of you look at the protocols, simply put, of close contact with somebody that tests positive. If I'm vaccinated as a football player and I come in close contact, absolutely nothing changes for me whatsoever. If I am not vaccinated, I'm done for 5 days and I have to keep testing negative before I'm allowed in. And if I get a positive test, vaccinated guy, show me two negatives and with a 24-hour gap in between your back. You probably don't miss a game. Unvaccinated player, you're out for 10 days, that's it. Now, I'm not blasting anybody in the NFL or the NFLPA for the protocols, but that does seem like being vaccinated gives you a better chance to play. Which therefore gives you a better chance to win. So am I wrong for making the connection? A vaccinated player has a better chance of helping his team win.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, of course.
I'm not trying to trap you, but that's
I know you're not. Yes, you do. I mean, because you have to, you can let your guards down a little bit, right? You can be a little bit more free in what you do.
Yeah, okay.
If you're still vaccinated, you still have to be very on guard and be very aware of what you're doing. You know, obviously, if you're married and have kids, you know, are they in school? What are they doing? And you have to, but you are aware of those consequences. I don't think any of these guys, I mean, I've been around Cole, I know him, he's a very intelligent dude, right? So all these guys that feel a certain way, they're not like oblivious, like, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. They understand the consequences and the weight of their decision, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's for them and their family.
They
and obviously playing a team.
Right.
Yes, they play in a team atmosphere, right? We all part of a team, right? Doug, you go to work every day. You would have to make that decision on whether or not you would want to wear a mask right now. Did you get vaccinated or you didn't? Why didn't you? Why? Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on each person. And so, obviously, some of the stars having gotten vaccinated, so they're going to get a lot more attention. But there's a lot of other guys that probably have decided not to get vaccinated as well. And so it's just a decision. And we can see that football is always a microcosm of society. It's a ton of people out here walking around with no mask that hasn't been vaccinated, right?
Yes. Yep.
There's a ton of people. And they've made their decision for whatever reason. And I respect it. That's you. That's what you decide to do. This is what I'm doing.
I've got to ask you this before you leave right here, okay? How do you think vax players are looking at non-vax players? How do you think they're looking at them?
I think they're looking at them at the normal way. I mean, because it's a relationship there, right? And so it's not like this guy over there and I'm over here. I know this dude. He's probably explained it to me, and I have to respect it. Now, if it's like a dumb reason and he hasn't really done any of the research, I'm like, come on, dude. Really? So that's – and I think
I like that.
A lot of people do that too, right? They give you this dumb, very superficial because you saw something, but how much further did you go on either side? Did you do some research and really understand on either side of how you convicted about it versus just saying whatever, you know, your social group or your political party or whatever your friends on Facebook have said? How much further have you done versus just being lazy and just kind of doing that? So if it's an in-depth like answer and I can see, okay, this dude is really convicted, I got to respect you. If it's like, because Cole Beasley said it, then I'm not down with that.
Yeah, right.
That's very well said. So thanks for the surprised call and jumping on with us. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, anytime.
Absolutely. There's Lorenzo Alexander joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a pre-owned Cadillac, you want a Coulter Cadillac courtesy vehicle, go to CoulterCadillacTempe.com and experience the difference. It's official. Willie Green is the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans, former assistant with the Phoenix Suns. Wolf says it's good that he's leaving, but it's a wonderful reason. We'll explain next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I realize we have a little bit of sensory overload, but I would like to add a small blue light on the back of every car.
Okay, a small blue light. And this ought to be good.
And the blue light means my cruise is set. So you playing your little game is not affecting me. I haven't changed my speed in 5 miles.
I love it.
So every second you're right behind me getting mad that I'm in your way, and then the next minute you are in my way. I haven't changed speeds, buddy. You are.
Come to a full stop at a four-way, please. That's all I'm saying.
I get so mad when I'm a cruise guy. Set the cruise, be done.
Yes.
None of my business how fast you're going. I don't care. You go fast, you go slow, I don't care. Just don't play the game of going back and forth.
Let's come to a full stop at a stop sign.
Willie Green is the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. That means you don't get better as an organization when you lose a guy like Willie Green.
We all understand who has the right of way at that point.
And yet, Wolf believes this is a good thing that Willie Green is no longer an assistant coach with the Phoenix Suns.
Man, you know what? Honestly, Douglas, I really do. The Pelicans got a great coach here. There's no doubt about it. But the Phoenix Suns, it's amazing right now. I said this before in the first hour we talked about this. I'm going to say it again. They may be the most aptly named team in the association right now. Rising from the ashes and literally doing it to almost win a championship and now spinning off personnel. Teams are looking at the Phoenix Suns and what the Phoenix Suns are doing and their culture, and they're saying, boy, that looks good. We'd like some of that right here. Think about that. And now all of a sudden, Phoenix is a destination city as well. Oh my goodness. You want to talk about a facelift this organization has undertaken in the last year?
One of the things that's interesting is this is back on June 13th. So the Suns just eliminated about 20 minutes earlier the Nuggets from the postseason. And Monty Williams says,
I mean, Willie Green has led that charge.
He has a whole minute talking about Willie Green's efforts on improving the Suns' defense, not only in the offseason, but then throughout this season and into a top 10 defensive unit. And when you're a head coach and you make sure that you make that call out about a guy in a presser, listen, there's a lot of owners in the league that don't pay attention to what's actually happening on the court, but they hear something like that. So the people that know Willie Green in the inner circles, they want to interview a guy like that. But case in point, the owner's got to want the guy. And that's the kind of ways that you get people to move on in life and get promoted. So what does that mean? I love how you said destination city. The better young assistants who have heard terrible things about the Suns for the last 10 to 12 years now look at it and say, I have a chance to be a Suns assistant coach and move on for a path to be a head coach.
Yes.
So better assistant coaches want to be in your organization. That's the true benefit of a Willie Green leaving. Not, you're a weaker team when you lose a good assistant coach.
Yes, no doubt.
But you get to replace them with the cream of the crop. That's the advantage.
Word is spreading on the Phoenix Suns right now. And once again, I'm going to talk about that culture and Monty Williams and James Jones. Never forget about James Jones. He was right in the middle of that as well. The Monty Williams, James Jones culture. Now you need somebody to model that thing. What do you say we go out and get Chris Paul? We'll bring Chris Paul in here. Not only will he model this culture, but now all of a sudden the impact he might have on a DeAndre Ayton, a Mikal Bridges, a Cam Johnson, a campaign could be profound. And that's exactly what happened right there. Let's have a Devin Booker walk around and model this new culture. This new culture right now is the envy of the league. And it's great, too. It's backed up by a fan base that has become the envy of the league. Think about that, all in less than a year. Truly stunning.
And
Phoenix indeed.
Then you it brings up the question, what about free agents? Remember the time when we it felt like everybody wanted to look at the Suns as a potential free agent and who was going to come here? And are we actually going to be able to get back to that opportunity? I love Devin in the Olympics. The original team of LeBron James trying to make a super team, the conversation started at the Olympics. What kind of effect is it going to be when players are teammates with Devin Booker trying to win a title and saying, or excuse me, a gold medal and saying, I want to play with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if Devin Booker is still totally committed to being a Sun, that means Olympic players become Suns. At some point.
Just fantastic for the organization overall. Not even close.
Camp is upcoming for the Cardinals, and you've been talking about a physical culture for an entire offseason.
Let's go.
So, what can the Cardinals do to improve? Rookies are already there. It starts now. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This is J.J. Watt, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
That's a great group. We got a good mix of experience and youth.
Let's be sharp. Let's finish strong.
You've got all the assets. You've got the talent on your football team. Time to produce.
Talent is great, but you have to be able to cultivate and build upon that.
We got the guys. We got the talent. We got the athletes. You know, that shouldn't be an issue.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
A farmer just walked into the Ogden Community Studios and started going over a little bit of the training camp. I just saw Jesse dancing. Boy, was that a weird thing to see.
Jesse's girl.
If you don't know, Maloney's off today, so Minch moved over into Maloney's spot as the producer. So Jesse's the board op today, and I just saw him thinking that that was Groove. And it was not. But anyway, the...
still trying to bust it behind the glass.
It was kind of weird to see to sit here and talk about some of the training camp plan for our coverage. As you know, the flagship home of the Arizona Cardinals, and you'll have exclusive access that no one else can give you to Cardinals training camp. And just starting to put starting to put together the plan. They've already been working on it for a while. And then how different COVID protocols affect it. But rookies start today. Veterans show up Tuesday if they're not already there, and then you actually have the hit and start, not this weekend, but next weekend. Three preseason games, a long break after that for Labor Day weekend because there's no games Labor Day weekend, and then here we go.
Man, you're getting me so jacked up, Douglas, just talking about the possibility. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It might not be 1985. It may not be 1985 football. But it's still the blood sport. There's no doubt about it. And it's still the most physical sport on the planet. And as a matter of fact, let me riff on this a little bit. Give me a digital download from my cloud account. If you don't yes! Oh, Dave Mustaine, it's been a long time. If the Cardinals want to be more physical, they need to do a better job of attacking the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, base and audience. Offensively, they need to run the ball more downhill. It doesn't have to be an all-the-time thing, but it's got to become part of this offense. Line James Conner up and attack the line of scrimmage, Dave Mustaine. Put Kyler Murray under center from time to time and run downhill with the potential of play action. When you attack the line of scrimmage by running downhill, you force the second level to suck up and honor the run, which opens up the middle of the field for wide receivers like A.J. Green and possibly Larry Fitzgerald. It also allows you to throw the ball down the field, take some shots, some chunk throws. Blend the old and the new in game plan for your opponents. Maybe one team is more susceptible to a downhill attack. Maybe another team isn't good at defending RPOs. Put Kyler Murray in the gun and run your new era offense. I don't care. Be capable of doing either or. Be capable of running both offenses. Defensively, ladies and gentlemen, the Cardinals were bottom third in the league in stopping the run in yards per game and yards per play. That's got to get better. But they have to walk a fine line with Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons playing inside. These are young, aggressive guys that are trying to prove they're physical, trying to prove they can hold up at the point of attack. They're going to be horny, as my old coach used to say. Now get your mind right, Basinonians. When he said horny, he meant players were metaphorically growing horns out of their head and wanted to run the ball carrier through with their horns.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
And these two young linebackers are going to be, they're going to be crazy to stop the run. And if they're not, I'll want to know why. Listen, the Titans and the Vikings are the first two games the Arizona Cardinals are going to play of the regular season. I can tell you right now, there's not a better test of being a physical team. Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook are going to attack the line of scrimmage. And once these young guys start sucking up to the line of scrimmage, trying to stop the run, it's going to be a play-action party for those teams. But I digress. The Arizona Cardinals overall need to attack the line of scrimmage and do it in a brutal, physical fashion on both sides of the ball. Their mantra should be memento mori.
What?
Memento mori.
I hope that doesn't have to do with horny.
Latin, ladies and gentlemen, for remember death. Memento mori on both sides of the ball. Or perish.
Are you just trying to get back in good graces so you can speak to the rookies
again? First of all, let me just say this right now, just for the record. Never play the non-Dave Mustaine. Just the music. Always play Dave Mustaine. Always. What, coach? Oh, okay. Never do that. Play the original piece, please. Okay, I got that out of the way. The Cardinals need to attack the line of scrimmage, man, on both sides of the ball, and I'm really, really excited about this. I am. I think it's one of the reasons why. Why else are you going to go out and get Rodney Hudson and bring him in here, right? Brian Winters, the guard they brought in from the Buffalo Bills, is a brawler as well. Why are you going to? James Conner is a downhill runner. He's a downhill guy. You want to put his toes at 7 and let him run at the line of scrimmage at 6'1", 232 pounds. You want him attacking the line of scrimmage. A.J. Green is a guy. Once all of a sudden you're going to get a lot of man cover out there, you're going to get that in rundown situations. Now A.J. Green can get open with a possibility of play action, use his big body to get his body in front of the ball. Right between the ball and the defender, that's what you want. But you want that open middle field. You want those inside linebackers sucking up because you're able to run the ball. Do it all. Be able to get in the shotgun and run the new age offense. I love it. Absolutely love it. It's brilliant. Do both. Expand the football universe. Don't contract it. Teams are weak. Some teams are weak at stopping the run, Doug Lease. Some teams are more susceptible to play action. Old-fashioned play action where the quarterback is under center and he's running to a mesh point in the backfield. They're more susceptible to that. film study will tell you which game plan you should use. When to use more of the new age stuff and when to use more of the old traditional stuff. Be capable of doing it both. Man, I love that idea. Now, I don't know what the reality might be for somebody out there doing that on the Cardinals coaching staff, but man, I'd love to see it. It's the one thing I want to see at training camp. You can talk about being physical all you want, Douglas, being more physical. We've got to be more physical. Well, you also have to take those physical players that you brought in the offseason. You've got to be able to take those physical players and actually put them in a physical scheme. Does that make sense? Why would you bring somebody in that is a physical football player and then just do nothing but zone block? I wouldn't do that. That's just me.
Football season is here. We're getting you ready with the Valley Virtual Series Training Camp Edition.
Did you want to say something?
Text CAMP to 620-620 to receive a link to this exclusive event where you will hear from your favorite Arizona sports host.
Memento Mori.
And you'll have the chance to win prizes like tickets or autographed memorabilia, and you won't have to remember death during the call.
Think about that.
Just text CAMP to 620-620. Arizona Sports Valley Virtual Series is presented by 72 Sold. Get your price.
Caesar used to have a guy that would walk behind him as he'd walk out, and the crowd would go nuts because it was Caesar, right? And he'd have a guy walking behind him saying, Memento Mori, remember, you are but a man. You will die. Seriously.
He was also there just in case somebody tried to stab him in the back like Brutus did. So that way that guy took it instead of Caesar. So then who's dying now?
I thought that was pretty humble of Caesar to actually have a guy walking behind him saying that.
Yeah, truth is so he could take the knife.
No, it was not. It was not, Douglas. Remember, you are but a man. You will die. Remember death. Memento Mori.
By the way, on the text line, we did get a text. I called out earlier this morning. I said, there's no way we have somebody that listens to us from Tucson. Tucson hates us. And he goes, no, I'm a listener from Tucson.
I told you.
I listen to all the shows every day. That's Mark Lovato. Hi, Mark.
What's up, Mark?
Thank you. Awful nice of you. Coming up next, I'm going to explain to you why the University of Oklahoma is really stupid. On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. No, I didn't get personal.